right, we have a special guest for our sermon today, so I want to invite Bono up for us. He's going to be preaching. We are so excited to have him. Pastor Tim is on vacation enjoying the last couple of days, but we are so glad to have you here, and I just want to pray with you real fast.
Okay? Thank you.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the willingness and the heart that Bono has for you. And dear God, I just pray that the words that you are giving him that are all yours, and that he is just speaking from you, dear God. We just thank you for his obedience and for his trust and his faith in you, dear God. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Praise the Lord, church. It is what a blessing to be able to see New Year and looking behind and leaving the last one behind is always, I always see that as beginning a new chapter for me. And so it is definitely a blessing to be here today. And I'm humbled and I'm honored that we can bring a word from the Lord to you today that he has, first of all, impressed on my own heart, you know, and is teaching me through so much still. So as we begin today, the first thing that I'd like to show is that the Word of God is what it is. It is the Word of God. It's not a good storybook. It's not a history book. God is inspired. It is. Sometimes we see that, you know, we talk about Paul writing, Peter, John, the book of John, and so forth, but it's all inspired by God. Amen. So the scriptures are written by men who were inspired by God to write them in order that we can know the heart of God and his character and what he desires for each one of us. So one of the first scriptures that I have is that reminds us of that. It's in 1 Peter. Let me get my notes up. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Oops, sorry. I can't see. I got to get my glasses. Sorry. So the first, the scripture that reminds us of that is 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And I don't know if we have that on the screen or not. So this is one of the scriptures that that reminds me of that, that while there's so much in the Bible, yet it is indeed God's word to us, the message that he brings to us, though it is written by man, it's not from man. For he was forsaken before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for your sake. Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith... I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. I apologize for that. Let me go to that. I must have written it down wrong. But that's all right. That's all right. Second Peter. Here it is. So Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 reminds us. Go back up to verse 19. He says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Why is it important to know that? Because if we see God's word for what it is, and we believe it for what it says, then that's the beginning of a transformation that happens within us. And that's why it is so important to understand that, because if we just read it and it doesn't cause us to do anything different in our lives, then we're not really understanding that. We're not really understanding the Word of God. And so that's one of the, that's why it's so important. I've been learning that myself, and God reminds me of that as I read His Word, that it's not just to have knowledge, but it's to understand who He is and what He has to offer to me and to you. So I want to take us to the John chapter 14, and that's the text that we'll be using this morning. Teaching out of John 14 and verses 1 through 14. And I know it's up there, but I don't know why, I just so used to reading it out of here. All right. John chapter 14. Let me get a little background to this. So Jesus is with the disciples, and he's been with them for some time now. And now he's coming to the end. He's sharing with them that he's about to be betrayed. And so they're not taking this very well for certain different reasons, which we'll get into here in a minute as we read on. Chapter 14, verse 1, beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, one of the things, as I was going through this text, and this is actually one of the lessons we've been through in the past, and but one of the things that we realize here is that Jesus, tells his disciples that he's about to leave. Now, you have to understand that the disciples have left everything to follow him. He is their life. He is their everything. And at this point, they're like, wait a minute. You know, we've left everything. I mean, what are we going to do now? And so Jesus takes note of that. He takes note of it. And that's amazing. That's an awesome thing. It's amazing, but it's awesome that he sees their heart. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. He sees where they are, and he quickly tends to them because they're hurting, they're discouraged. And so he quickly comes to them immediately and says to them, tells them about their journey. On this journey, there is a reward, in a sense, that they're only here temporary, because he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe God and believe also in me. He immediately goes into reminding them that there is a greater reward ahead. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. So the journey here, what they're thinking about today, what's going on today, and they get so wrapped up in the circumstance, they forget about that there's a greater purpose than that which they're experiencing now. And it wasn't easy for them, because Jesus is not only about to leave, but he's left them in a position where they're feeling like they're going to be like sheep without a shepherd as he moves on. And then in Matthew 9:27, Peter responds to Jesus again. He says, we have left everything for you. So what do they do now? Where do they go? What is their next step? But that's why he reminds them. He says to them, they are his disciples. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So what are the things that I see is that they've been experiencing the fullness of Jesus. They've been experiencing his love. They've been experiencing his power. They saw the many miracles that he did. They experienced the joy and the peace. And this is what they're concerned about, because now he's leaving. Now where are we going to get this from? What is it that we're going to do next? And here's the thing, you know. It's like they couldn't see that this was something that was not just a moment thing, a season thing. These things they were able to experience not just for them, but for eternity. This is what we have. This is what God has given us, and that's the blessing. And it's like it's not a temporary thing. It's not a one-time event. This is something that we have from this point on until we go to be with him. And then once we are there, I cannot imagine. If this is what we experience while we're apart from him, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we are with him. And so, I can't help but to think of, 20, this past year has been very difficult for some, more difficult for some than others. But nevertheless, God is still at work. God is still at work. And I my heart breaks for those who have been, going through difficult times. But God has not forgotten about you. As he continues to go through, and when he tells him, Thomas asks him where, that he does not know, he says, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know? And the response that Jesus gives him is that that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The way he is the way to eternal life. He is the way to experience life. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, I want to share that with you. Because there is some clarity there to Jesus as what he, you know, he is. I want to make sure I get this right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. And he says that even a little bit in that same passage where he says that no one comes to the Father but through him. You know, the Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that only leads to death. Many will say this is the way, or that is the way, or do this, or jump this many, whatever it is. But that it only leads to death and separation from God. And that is a tough place to be, because it was never intended for us to be in that place. So he is the way, and there is only one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus. He is the truth. The truth. When I think about truth, I was reminded of sometimes, you know, we wonder, what is truth? Even as Pilate, when Jesus was before him, he had the truth before him, and he could not see it. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't... the truth comes, from my understanding, is through the Word of God. Amen. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus is praying for us, the future church, praying for the disciples and those who will come to believe through them. And he says to them, They are not, 16, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth, in the truth. Your word is truth.
Yes, praise God.
This is it. This is where we find truth, you know. I can testify. I try to find truth in so many different ways.
Yes, yes.
When I was in the world, and everything that I thought was right was wrong. Everything that I tried to follow only led to painful, painful memories.
Yes.
And now that I understand, I know, and I can experience the whole opposite of that. We can experience through the truth of God's word. We can experience strength.
Yes.
We can experience peace. We can experience comfort.
Amen.
We can experience joy. And there's no limit to what we can experience with God, to be honest. And so that is what, you know, I tend to try to search for, because I've experienced all the other. There ain't nothing there, I promise you that. There ain't nothing there. So, but it's in, and then in the beginning of John, chapter 1, he says also, the scriptures remind us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has been referred to as the Word in this passage. And now he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but me. It's an awesome thought. That if we want truth, we just got to go to Jesus. We got to go to his word and find that. And then he is the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life is what, as I was searching through that, what exactly, and it is a life of purpose. But what is that purpose? It's one thing that it is not about. A life is not just solely centered on oneself. Because if we see the life that Jesus was living, it was never centered about himself. It was always about others. And that's one of the things that we see at the end of Matthew. And then of Matthew 25, when they're coming and it's judgment, he reminds them, those who were his followers, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here's what they were doing. He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. So it was never about the individual. It's always about what that individual does unto others. And his life is transformed because when we come to know the Lord, we begin to realize that. We come to realize that was everything that we are, God wants to use to reach others. Whether it be, you know, through word or through deed, It is designed so that ultimately somebody's life is touched and God is praised through it, through the glory of God. And that's one of the things that as we searched and we looked, we're realizing that there's greater satisfaction and fulfillment when our lives become about others. There's something about that. And so, and we can see that through the life of Jesus that he was able to do. He said many a times, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. So he showed us the way. There's in verse chapter 8 and 10. Well, I got to look at the time. I'm sorry. Verse chapter 8 and 10 of chapter 14. It's interesting that when he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. It's hard to imagine that the disciples would be following Jesus, walking with Jesus through this whole process, and they still had not connected the Father with Jesus as them being one. And so they did not have that understanding. And even to the point where Philip said, right after he said that, he said that from now on you know him and you have seen him. And the very next verse in that, Philip says, Lord, just show us the Father and that'll be enough. It's like there's still that doubt, not understanding. And Jesus takes him to the, and speaks into him, and he says, have I been so long with you? And yet you have not come to know me, Philip. Sometimes I think I can relate to that, you know, because it took me a long time to understand that, I knew Jesus, I professed Jesus, but there was something that I did not have. And I could see that because I saw others who did have what I was looking for. And so I wrestled with that for a time. I've shared this before, that there was a time we were sitting out there, and I sensed the Holy Spirit, you know, moving me, because I about to jump out that chair. And then all of a sudden, myself came back, I guess, because instead I went to grab up and get up and jump, and then I looked around and I said, man, I got to be crazy. The Lord is trying to set me free, man. He was trying to set me free from myself. And in order to experience that, that's exactly what has to happen. We've got to get outside of ourselves. I had to get outside of myself. Amen. In order that I can experience that love and the power and the joy and the peace and those things that God wants us to experience and has to offer. There's no favoritism in him. I mean, each one of us, he wants to do that with. He wants us to experience him to the fullest. But there are times, like I said, when it's hard to see. It's hard. And so he goes on and he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative. And he's not, I'm not making this up, you know, as I go. This is the word of God. This is God in me. And so he goes on. To tell them to believe in him, if not, at least believe because of the miracles, because no one else was out there doing those things. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. It's amazing because up until this point, the disciples were limited to what they could do. And he said, the very things that I do, you will also do. But then he goes on to say, but greater things even than this will you do. Because I go to the Father, I can empower you to do even greater things than what I have done here. One of those things, the miracles and everything that Jesus was doing were only avenues that he used to draw people to himself, to love on them, to minister to them, and ultimately to bring them to salvation, which was the greater purpose. There's nothing wrong with a miracle, but if that's all you get, then you're still lost. You're still lost. So the greatest thing that the greater things that he says, as I understand it, is that when Jesus was doing ministry, he was limited to where he was. After he went to the Father, is when the gospel went to all nations. To think of all the people now, in this day and time, that have turned to the Lord. And I mean, there's no, I can't even imagine. because when he left, he would empower them to do that. And the greatest miracle, believe it or not, is the miracle of salvation.
Amen.
Salvation is the whole purpose of Jesus' coming. Because had it not been for that, we would be in the same place where we were before. Hungry and never having enough. And so it is one of the greatest things to see a life transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing like it. Because if it, you know, he talks about in some of the other passages where he says, if you sin, not that you're going to chop your hand off, but it is better that you go without one hand and yet be saved than with both hands and be lost. And so, yeah, that's just one of the greatest things that I find and I see, even in this day and time, is that of salvation. The last part of that is that that he says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's the assurance that we have. There's assurance in that. With everything that we go through in life, whether it was last year or 10 years ago, whatever experiences we have in there in between, we have freedom. We have freedom to ask. We humble ourselves. We ask because we realize praying is, to ask God is to say to yourself, I can't, but you can. That's what we're doing. It's coming in humility. We're not telling God what he needs to do. We're just asking God, will you do it? And we have the freedom to ask whatever we ask. Now, that doesn't give us the right to ask him for our own pleasures necessarily, like above. You can ask him for $1 million. You'll probably be praying that for a long time. I think God is asking us that we should pray, going back to the passage, to do greater things than these. Whatever it is that is going to take us to where God is going to use us, whether it be your job, your neighbor, the grocery store, or you just walking down the road, there's always something that God is looking to do. There really is. I promise you there is. I'm amazed at how the Lord does those things, but I'm grateful that he does, and because he reminds me that he's still at work. We are able to go into people's, I'm in the garage door business, and I get to go to people's homes. And I tell you what, it is one of the greatest things for me, because I get to connect with people, and I get to see the Lord at work. A few weeks ago, I went into a place, and I realized that God was trying to do something, because the person who lived there was just in a garage, like they wanted to talk. I thought that, anyways, I said, well, okay, Lord, here we go. We started the conversation, and sure enough, the Lord, it was a God-appointed man, because the lady who was there, she was a nurse. We found that she was a nurse, and she was working the night. She was in ICU. And I began to thank her for her work, for what she was doing, and for being in the front lines of this whole pandemic thing. And then and she shared with me she had, on top of that, she had lost, I think, like 4 patients that night. And so I began to just to tell her how sorry I was to hear that, and I can't imagine somebody having to go through that, you know. And so, and on top of that, there were some other things that happened to several weeks before that. So she was pretty much overwhelmed, you know. So I knew this was from God. And I began, and she started crying. She said, I haven't done this in a long time. And I said, ma'am, I just need you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you with an unconditional love. There's nothing that you have to do to earn that. I said, he just loves you because of who you are. And man, I tell you what, I was wow. She She was crying, and I just kept talking with her, encouraging her. And then she had the freedom to share, and we talked about different things that had happened in life. And I testified of what God has been doing in my own life through some things that I've passed through. And eventually, at the end of that, I asked if I could pray with her. And she agreed. And we prayed. And she said, you know, you are an angel to me that's sent from God. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. And so those are the things that happen along this journey, this road of life. Doesn't have to be that you stand before a crowd, and I promise you, this is not my thing. This is not what I'm used to, but praise the Lord. It just little things here and there. Whatever God is doing and wants to do, just let him. If you want to experience him, let him do his will. Let him do what he has called us to do. And you'll experience that too. I mean, it's an awesome thing. And this is something that happens. I'm grateful. And I boast in the Lord, man, because ain't no way in the world I would have talked to somebody. I used to isolate, so I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want nobody to talk to me. So anyways, God is good. God is so good. But whatever you ask, what is it that's going on in your life, you know? Whatever it is, just ask God. Ask God. He cares. I ask him all the time. I do, because I need him. I can't. I can't do life without the Lord. Amen. I've tried, and it does not work. And it doesn't take much. What it is that we come just to know him, to ask him. How does this start? Years ago, I didn't know. You know, people would say, "You just ask the Lord." You know, tell him that you believe him. Tell him that you're, you know, confess and your sins and all of this. And it is a simple process, a very simple process. It's believing in the Lord, man. There was a day years ago where I sat down in a place where God brought me to the end of myself. And that was the best time, you know. I didn't think about that then, I promise you. But it was the best thing, looking back now. And I didn't even know how to pray. I looked up and I said, God, help me. And at that moment, as if the Lord had just given me an experience. Because I sat there, and as I sat there, I was overwhelmed with just warmth. And then I just broke down in tears, man. And I'm like, ooh, man, what in the world is going on? And when I came to, I realized that God had heard me. That was the first time that I started realizing that God cared about me. And so wherever it is, it starts there. You have to come to know him. Trust him. And there's some great things that he wants to do in your life and my life. And he's not finished, church. God has not brought us this far just to leave us. He's still working and trying to accomplish his plan, his will in us, through us, for our good and for his glory. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I want to praise the Lord for this opportunity. I count it a blessing and a joy, and thank you for your time. I trust that God will move you to do that this year as you trust him, as you allow him to do his work in your lives, that you also will be one day testifying of his goodness. And we love you, church. We thank you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, man.